You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 35 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, September 3rd, 2008. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we want to welcome you to our weekly conversation about technology and ministry. We're glad you are taking the time to join us. Morning, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Did you have a nice Labor Day?
It's crazy. It's, you know, it's back to school. So we've got all the kids back. We're empty nesters again. It hasn't happened in 20 years, 21 years, I guess, to be technically correct. So got two kids in college. They both decided to live on campus this year. And we took our daughter to Luther Prep. Yeah, she's a freshman, or Zextoner, as they call it there. So she's living on campus. So Debbie and I have to talk to each other at dinner now.
Quite a change for you, huh?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. How about you? Did you have a good weekend?
We did. We managed to squeeze in some geocaching.
Is that right?
Minnesota, it's Minnesota's 150th anniversary this year of statehood, I guess. And so they launched a geocaching program in all the Minnesota state parks where you can go around and find a geocache. And when you find it, they have a collectible trading card specific to that state park. And so we went and found one in the Upper Sioux Agency State Park, which is a really cool park. But what was neat about this geocache was it was a 2-mile hike. And the Drapers don't normally go on 2-mile hikes. So
that's usually a disqualifier for those caches. Huh?
Yeah, but it was neat. There were 8 of them along the way, and each one of them had a paper punch, so you kind of tracked your progress. And at the end, they had a beautiful commemorative coin that you could purchase in the park store that, you know, we earned our way to having that coin as we completed that 2-mile hike. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. I found out over the weekend, it was my sister's birthday. She lives in Florida, so I gave her a call on Sunday, and I found out she is an avid geocacher.
Oh, very
I had no
good.
Idea. She said for her birthday, so she's really hooked. For her birthday, that's what they did. They went out, and they had a goal of getting their 300th cache. So
awesome.
They've been through like 3 GPSs trying to find the exact right one. I mean, they've got all the equipment and all the buttons and... You know, it's crazy. I had no idea. So
it's a great family hobby for sure. And my husband's thinking of taking our youth group geocaching to this one we just did this weekend. It'd be a lot of fun for the youth group too.
So how many caches do you have? Do you count them at this point?
Oh, yeah. The website actually keeps up with your stats for you. We're at 187, which is a pretty big achievement for the Drapers. A lot of fun.
Conversely to you, my sister and her husband are the ones that are driving this. The kids hate it. So they have to be drug along to some of these things. At first, it was interesting, but then it got a little bit more like
got work, over
so,
it.
Yeah. So anyway. We're going to talk about actually expanding or making use of the Wells Tech family. So even though I'm an empty nester at home, so to speak, I wanted to talk about something that we're going to do collaboratively, hopefully, and encouraging all of our listeners to participate and even beyond our listening audience. And that is trying to put together a wiki about church media. One of the things that I do in the position of CTO for the Synod is really field a lot of calls and questions about all kinds of technology issues, but one that's becoming a little bit more frequent is what do we do or what would you recommend or are there purchasing programs for different kinds of things we would do in the area of church media? And when I'm talking about church media, I'm talking about audio and video recording of sermons and worship services, talking about publishing that audio and video, editing that audio and video, hardware for projection of things during the worship service or Bible class, so screens and projectors, software for that projection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll be the first to admit, Sally, I do not have all the answers. But thank goodness for Web 2.0 because we can use a wiki.
Right. I think that's a really exciting thing for us to tap into and support each other throughout the Synod, because perhaps, you know, one congregation is really up on a particular recording technique or hardware to do recording, and other congregations can make use of that knowledge without having to go down that path and experiment and research for themselves.
But you and I can only go so far. We really only know what we hear or what we've used in our own local congregations. So our experience is very limited, but it's great to have feedback from people who actually use the products and have kind of experienced the highs and lows, the goods and the bads of each particular product that we might be talking about. So we talked about wikis a little bit last week when Gail was on, I believe, in the classroom setting. Just maybe for a refresher for our listeners, Sally, maybe you want to explain what a wiki is.
Well, a wiki is a Web 2.0 tool, as you said, which allows people to collaborate. It's basically a website that multiple people can edit and make changes to. And so we can all pool together our knowledge and resources in this one web-based location to build something that has a lot of content that will be meaningful in a lot of different ways. So using the tool is going to help us achieve our ultimate goal, but the tool is in place, the wiki tool, to facilitate that in just a super easy way.
Yep, and we're going to use a tool that we talked about last week called Wet Paint. I kind of latched onto this and started throwing stuff in there, and it just was easy for me to use, and I think it would be easy for our listeners to use as well. So the site you want to go to, if you're listening at home, obviously you can't go there if you're in your car, but you know, keep this in mind, and you can go to our website to find the link to it. But it's wellstech.wetpaint.com. And once you go there, you'll be entering as a viewer, so you won't be able to edit anything. If you want to add or contribute content to this particular site, you're going to have to create a username and a password. But anybody can do that. It's very easy, and then you have the ability to edit or add content, which is part of what a wiki is, that collaborative nature. Essentially, we're all building a web page together, and in this case, we're building a section of the web page called Church Media. So when you initially go to the site, you're going to see an opening screen that talks about the Wells Tech home and gives a link to our show notes at wellstech.wells.net. But on the left-hand side under Wiki Pages, you're going to see a section called Church Media. And in that Church Media section, we've added a number of subsections, audio recording, microphones, presentation software, projectors, sound equipment, video cameras, video recording / streaming. And what you're going to find on those pages are my initial thoughts and recommendations that I've heard and used over the last couple years, and Sally's as well. What's really going to make this valuable, I think, as we mentioned, is for you guys to contribute.
Right. I think that's where the power comes from. And Martin, you did a wonderful job seeding the site. I know you're coming off of the Church Media Conference and, picked up a lot of tidbits and ideas from that. I'm sure you saw a lot of demonstrations of a lot of the different techniques that you've written about here on the wiki. But as you said, it's just scratching the surface of the experience that's out there in our Wells world that we'd like to, have people contribute so that we can all learn from each other.
Yep, absolutely. So just to give you a sampling, to whet the appetite a little bit, let's start with audio recording. That's one question that a lot of congregations are dealing with now. Most congregations are doing some kind of tape ministry, so they're already set up for some kind of recording, at least an analog recording. But if you go to the audio recording page, you're going to find a number of tools that would kind of take that to the next level, and that's what a lot of the questions are coming from as far as the congregations are concerned. How do we get this into a digital format? How do we put this on DVD? How do we get this on the web? Is a big question. So we've seeded that particular area with a number of different hardware and software solutions. One of them was recommended at this church media conference I attended a couple weeks ago, and that's the Marantz PMD 570. Marantz PMD 570. It's a little spendy. It depends on what your needs are, but it basically is a solid state audio recording device that you simply plug in from your sound system and it goes right to digital, really high quality recordings, and then you can take that digital and do almost anything that you want with it. You can burn it to a DVD or a CD, you can upload it, you know, all kinds, and in many different formats. So, you know, no moving parts, it's all solid state, so it's really a slick device. Again, you've got to kind of build this into an overall sound budget because it's not inexpensive. I think the current price is around $900. But there's other things that you can do to do the same, similar things on a budget. Sally, you mentioned one that you use there at your church.
That's right. We're tapping into that same sound system, our sound system that projects the pastor's voice in the sanctuary, and just getting a feed off of that into a small digital recorder. And there's a variety of these out on the market. I actually use one that isn't being sold any longer. It's one I purchased several years ago, but included some links there on the wiki to newer versions of the same thing. And iRiver is the brand that I use. But there's also other comparable products out there on the marketplace. So just a real low-end solution, probably for $100 or less, you can get something that's going to digitize that audio content from your soundboard and allow you to very quickly and easily upload it as an MP3 or burn it to a CD for your shut-ins or whatever.
Yep. Even lower end, if you just want to use a plain old computer, you can do that as well and record right to it. So if you have the ability to get a feed from your sound system into the line in on your computer, most computers have that, whether it be a desktop or a laptop, you can use free tools. One of them that many congregations, I think, are using today for podcasting and different other things is Audacity. We've mentioned that before. And there's a link to that on the wiki under audio recording. Those of you that are using Macs, you're probably already aware that you have an application built in called GarageBand that works nicely for that. If you want to go a little bit higher end for some more advanced editing, some fade-ins and different things that you maybe can't all do with Audacity, or at least very easily, is Adobe Audition. That runs, I think, around $300. But always check for charity or educational pricing on these products, because typically you can get them for a lot cheaper than the list price. And probably the highest end is DigiDesign's Pro Tools. A lot of professional, quote-unquote professional podcasters use Pro Tools. And I believe that's a Mac-only product. So that's a quick overview. Sally, just something else on audio recording?
Yeah, I just wanted to put a plug in for, you know, moving beyond the hardware and software, and if there are those who want to actually share the process that go through, maybe flowchart or you know, step by step, you know, I take the file from the recorder onto my computer, or I edit using Audacity, you know, maybe any kind of information like that, I think, is going to be useful for somebody who's just a first timer, you know, walking in through the process. So we'd love to see this wiki take off in a lot of different directions. You know, hardware, software recommendations certainly are just very, very valuable, but also, you know, the how-tos would be useful here as well.
Yep. Anything you want to share would be wonderful. Your experiences, again, as Sally mentioned, the process, tools, advice, those kinds of things. Again, we've got a bunch of categories. Some of them are very sparse at this point. You will notice as you visit the site, there's an easy edit button. It's kind of like the easy button. It's just not big and red and round, but it's a little button that says easy edit with a little pencil on it. All you do is, once you've got your username and password, just click on that easy edit button. Just like working in Microsoft Word or any other kind of online tool that has a text box, you simply can go in there. You can edit the existing text, add your own comments. You can add to the bottom your own paragraphs of information and links. It's very, very easy to use. And on some of the pages, you'll see a little to-do icon. If you go to, let's see, what did we do? Where did we do that one, Sally? On church microphones, the second item under church media, there's a little plus icon at the top that says Add Content, Church Microphones. And we're looking for recommendations on mics used in worship settings. So I don't have a lot of good information on that. So that'd be great to for some of our users to say, hey, we use Shure microphones, you know, wireless and wired, and this has been our experience, and these are good models and the cost and those kinds of things. So take a look at those as well.
Hey, Martin, did you know you can buy an Easy Button?
Is that right?
Got one on your wiki, but you can also buy one of those big red round Easy Buttons, and when you push it, it says that was easy. So that's just some extra information for you. My son's violin teacher has one, so they get a big kick out of finishing their violin lessons and pressing the Easy Button.
Now, so if we can hook that up to a few different things, you know, then I'm interested. Then I'm there.
Yes.
Like doing all the audio editing for this podcast.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. All right, so that's the Wells Tech Church Media Wiki. So again, the URL for that is wellstech.wetpaint.com. Love to see you get involved with that. Anybody can do it. If you've got something to share, or if you just would like to, you know, do a little research on some of the things that others have recommended, that would be kind of the place to go at this point. So we're trying to build a great resource that's going to help our congregations figure out how to use church media, all kinds of church media, video cameras and projectors and so on and so forth. So check that out.
And just one more plug for the wiki as we get more experience with it. Martin and I were both surprised to get an email summary of the additions to the wiki.
Yeah.
As being contributors, then once a week, apparently, Wet Paint sends out this really professional summary that shows all the things that have been added. So you don't have to go out and monitor it all the time. They're going to notify you when those new things are added to the wiki, which is really a nice feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Mm-hmm. One of the areas on the wiki is presentation software. There are a number of packages out there, and presentation software is essentially the software like PowerPoint that can drive viewing of media during, let's say, a worship service. So if you're using images to enhance or augment the message itself, or posting hymns, those kinds of things, I know a number of congregations are interested in doing that. There is software that is available. And when I attended the Church Media Conference down in Dallas a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to interview one of the founders of a product that's been around for a long time now called MediaShout, one of the leaders in that particular church presentation software space. They've got a great product. They were recently bought by a larger company, so they're hoping that will even expand the product even more. So I had a chance to sit down with Paul Jackson of MediaShout and ask him a little bit about where the product is going and what it can do for our congregations. Let's listen to my interview with Paul. This week I'm at Echo Church Media Conference in Dallas, Texas, and Paul Jackson of MediaShout Software was good enough to spend a few minutes with me. Paul, thanks for joining us.
I'm just pleased to be here. It's great to talk with you.
Wonderful. Great to meet you as well. I attended one of your workshops yesterday and learned a lot about MediaShout, and I wanted to maybe share that with some of our listeners. So maybe the most basic of questions would be, what is MediaShout?
You know, I had a guy use a phrase just this morning that I haven't used before, but I think it describes what we do quite well. He used the phrase, a congregational display system. I kind of like that because we display content to congregations. That really is what we do. Content of song lyrics, Bible passages, video clips, DVDs, anything that can be represented visually is what we deal with MediaShout.
So a congregation would install this software on a computer within the worship sanctuary itself and then basically load up their media, whether that be scripture, hymns, videos, any kind of imagery, and it kind of automates that process for them. Is that how it works?
That's right. It puts all of those resources into one program so that they're available for presentation through one application. That's MediaShout. And you just point and click, whether it's a Bible passage that you want to go to the screen, or maybe it's a song lyric or a video clip or a website, even go out and grab content from a website, and it's immediately displayed on the system at a moment's notice.
So how hard is this to operate? You know, most of our churches in particular have volunteer help, and I suppose that's the case in a lot of different churches. So is it something that takes a lot of training? Are there classes for it? Or is it, you know, pretty, you know, self-guided? Can somebody, let's say a volunteer or a number of volunteers, take care of this on a Sunday?
The answer to all of the above would be yes. there is a lot of training levels available. It's not difficult. The application itself is designed with the same kinds of tools and commands and behaviors as other Microsoft Office applications. File and edit and save as and open and close, and all of those same things that you would do in Microsoft Word, you can do in MediaShout, but they apply to visual media as opposed to documents. So we've done the best we can to try to keep things as simple as possible, but keeping in mind that we're dealing with many different types of media, and we're dealing with random access to those files and to that content. And so there certainly is some learning curve to it, to the software. But, you know, we have tutorials that are built into the software. We do online training classes. We have DVD training classes, seminars live like you participated in here at this conference. Our folks are always out there doing these things around the country.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the company. Now, is it some of these technologies aren't very new, especially as they relate to ministry in the church. And what's your role within the company at this point?
I come from a background of artist management and tour production, really, and theater productions. And so my objectives were always, and how can we do more and not have to stack more gear in a 53-foot trailer, you know, to take on the road? So the advent of computers and even laptops as it came down the road, 15, 18 years ago is when I was doing tour production, and I was looking for ways to compact all of these things that we wanted to do in big arenas. So MediaShout grew out of that. And grew out of tour production into an application that could be used by the local church. I personally, in MediaShout, was one of the creators of the software created the company that owns it, Media Complete. And so I've always been involved in the sales and marketing and educational and training kinds of activities. I have a partner who's been involved in the actual software development, the writing of the code. And then we have a third partner who's been our business manager. And so we work together on this. Our company has been around for almost 10 years. We just last week, however, were purchased by the Don Moen Company. Don, an individual probably well known to Lutheran churches around the country. Don is a worship leader, a songwriter, a record label executive who has been at Integrity Music for a number of years, recently left there to start his own company, and Media Complete, our company that developed MediaShout, was their first acquisition, and we just closed that transaction last week.
That's exciting news and kind of breaking news, right?
Yeah, it is breaking news. I mean, it's probably the first broadcast revelation of this information that's occurred at this point. But it is. It's a great opportunity for our little company to go way beyond the things we ever dreamed we might be able to do in the near future. And Don brings both vision and heart to what we do. We've worked with Don over the last few years in a number of different venues. But Don brings passion to this to the future with us, and you know, he brings capital. Mm-hmm. He brings the money that it takes for us to do the things that otherwise we might eke out from month to month. Don has said, "Look, what would you want to do if money were not the issue? What would you want to do tomorrow and next week and next month?" And we painted some pretty optimistic pictures for him, and he said, "Well, let's go do that." And so we really are excited about the new relationship.
Great, exciting times then. Now, the landscape that you're in, you know, is getting very competitive. What's kind of the differentiators as you see it between you and some of the others that are in the same space?
MediaShout, of course, has a legacy. We were one of the first doing, we probably were the first doing all the things that, that our software does. And there have been people come along and do the same things and some of the same things. It's my opinion, and I believe this would stack up to a one-on-one comparison, is that MediaShout still does more than any of the other software applications that do similar things to our product. We've just been in the space longer, and we've had a longer development path, and so we've continued to develop the product. But you know, they're basically all of the products take content and display it on some type of device, a projector, a monitor, a screen of some kind, for people to use. And there are other applications. Ours is a Windows only application.
Right.
There are Mac applications that do similar things to what MediaShout does. But again, I like to think that we do more, and I think do it better in many cases than the other folks out there. And we'll continue that development path. We are continually looking for what does the church need to do what it does better in the realm of media. And today, churches must be in the media channel, or they're simply not going to be communicating effectively with the people who are there from week to week, who are participating or attending from week to week. You know, research tells us that we learn visually better than we learn any other way. We remember 55% of what we see. We remember roughly 30% of what we hear. And we only remember 7% of the words that we encounter. Mm-hmm. But once you put all of those things together, then you start helping people remember and learn things exponentially. That content starts being remembered better. I like to think that we're all about helping people remember and learn things. And certainly the church is all about having the information that we want people to remember and learn.
Right. What's behind the name MediaShout, especially the shout part? That's kind of intriguing.
Well, we sat around a dining room table for hours and hours thinking about and looking at different names. But, you know, dramatic is a big part of that. You know, a shout is boisterous, it's dramatic, it's sometimes overwhelming, but it makes a statement, and it's obvious. And so we wanted to proclaim something in a dramatic kind of way, and media is what we're all about. And so you know, MediaShout was kind of the word we coined. It's not in the dictionary. Oh, it may be now. I don't know, but it wasn't a word that was in the dictionary. But it said who we wanted to be at the time we had to put a name to this thing, mm-hmm. And so it just kind of stuck.
Well, at least maybe it's on Wikipedia.
I'm sure it is there. Yes, Wikipedia.
So give us the basics. How do people learn a little bit more about the software? How do they purchase it? What kind of versions are available, and the cost?
We have three versions currently. We have MediaShout Standard, which is kind of the mothership of the whole thing. Song Lyrics includes Bibles and song lyrics and media for backgrounds and all of that. There's the standard version is retails for $429. We have an express version for computers, that older computers that are not totally up to speed. MediaShout works on basically any computer, but the Windows versions have to be fairly current. But the express version will basically work on anything, and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles. It sells for $229. And then we have a brand new, just released in the last couple of weeks, we have a Spanish, all Spanish version of MediaShout Express that we are making available to Spanish-speaking churches, and we'll be distributing that in Latin and South America very soon. It's also $229. All of those are available on our website. It's just MediaShout.com, as well as accessing there the online training courses that we do every week live on the Internet.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us, Paul.
It's been a pleasure.
It was great for Paul to spend a couple minutes with me at a very busy conference, and you can tell he is excited about the product and where the company is going. And I learned a lot. I'm not that familiar with software like this, but it sounds like MediaShout is one of the kind of the baseline products against which many others are measured.
Yeah, I went out and checked out their website, Martin, and I noticed that they do online training, which is always something of interest to me.
Right.
If you purchase the product, you can also participate in their online training sessions, which they structure as an hour of demonstration and live chatting with the trainer, you know, asking your questions and stuff. And they have them geared toward the person running the console, you know, getting started with the software, and then more advanced techniques as well. Yeah. So lots of opportunities there to get you going with the software.
And from what I saw, very easy to use out of the box. It kind of has a cue based approach to presentation, so you simply preload it, you start the cue, you can stop it and start it, you can do transitions, lots of features that are available in the product. So if you're interested in something like that, it might be a good choice.
And does your congregation do anything like that?
We do not.
Okay.
We do not.
Yeah, as advanced as we get, we watch the Wells Connection, but we use a television doing that currently. So I don't know what the future holds in this area for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions and a lot of possibilities. So, you know, it'll be an interesting next few years as congregations think about doing this, if nothing more, for those kinds of presentations and, you know, after service types of things, you know, if it's not even just within the service. So up next, our picks of the week. Sally? Why don't you lead us off?
Sure, Martin. I was reminded this week of a great product that I really enjoy using, and I wanted to share that with our WellsTech listeners. That is Microsoft's PhotoStory, which is a free product, a free download from Microsoft, kind of a long URL, but I'll make sure and include a link to it in our show notes. And what PhotoStory allows you to do is easily create photo slideshow videos. So if you have a set of images and you want to set them to music and add some motion to them, PhotoStory is the product to use for that. I can see this being really useful in a congregation or a school if you're looking for just a short promotional kind of video to post on your website, for instance. Just a great way to share a message and add, you know, the visual and, and musical techniques to just the still images. So very easy to use. It's basically a drag and drop to add your images to it. It does all the work for you and in the end creates a Windows Media video file that can be uploaded to a website or burned to a CD, whatever your use is for it. And you can also add things like titles to the images or even voice narration to the images as they're shown on the screen. So if you're looking to promote your congregation kind of on a low-end scale with a free product, this is a great way to do it. And I think you can come up with something that's fairly professional-looking with Microsoft PhotoStory. So I recommend you checking it out.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was you, Sally, that put a slideshow together at Synod Convention a couple summers ago, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Just kind of a great way to tie together, you know, an event. We've used it at the end of Vacation Bible School.
Oh, yeah.
To feature pictures from the whole week, and everybody just gets really excited. It's a great way to kind of relive a moment or whatever. We also used it here. We have a Sunday each year in our congregation. We have one Sunday where we only have one worship service. We call it Unity Sunday to kind of bring the congregation together in one worship service, as opposed to being split into the normal two that we offer each Sunday. And then we have a fellowship meal after that, and we had a slideshow playing at that event, you know, just kind of recapping the year and that kind of thing.
That's
so
a great
lots
idea.
Of different congregational uses for it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sally. My pick is a product that I've been aware of, but I'm using it a little bit more these days because I think they've improved it to such a great degree that it's far more usable than any other product I've tried. And that's a product called LogMeIn at logmein.com, LogMeIn.com. And it's another remote control software. I've talked about some of these in the past. But what I really like about LogMeIn is its speed. Essentially, you install a LogMeIn client on your machine and also on the machine you'd like to control. It's a very simple installation. It works now cross-platform, so you can install it on your PC. If you have a Mac, you can install it on a Mac. You have the ability then to call up that computer remotely without anybody even available at the remote system, although it works well even if somebody is there, and allows you to take control of that computer as if you were sitting right in front of the screen. There's a free version of LogMeIn at logmein.com. If you want to do file transfers and you know, have sound come through to the remote system or to the host system, you have to pay for that, but I found that the free version works really well, certainly with assisting parents. If you are the family technical support person, that's it's a great tool. But again, as I mentioned, I think the best part about it is its speed. They've really made some improvements. I've played with products like VNC and a few of those kinds of products before, and it's really, really slow. This is really snappy, almost as if you're right in front of it. I don't know how they do it or what technology they use, but they've made some great advances here. So there is a LogMeIn free version, which I would encourage you to try. Again, it's cross-platform. If you have any need to control a remote system, this is a great product to try.
And I can definitely see our pastors and teachers needing this, because who wants to always be living in the church office?
That's right.
You know, we like to come home occasionally, but it is nice to have the capability to grab your files or access that work computer from your home setting. So I think this could be a real powerful tool for us.
Absolutely. What's up next, Sally? We've got some things coming up in the Wells World we want to share.
That's right. Just another reminder for our listeners about the Special Ministries Conference that's fastly approaching. It's going to be held October 3rd through 5th, and that's going to be in Brookfield, Wisconsin at the Sheraton Milwaukee there. It's going to cover all the different areas of special ministries, and boy, working at the Senate Administration Building, I certainly gained a wonderful respect for the special ministries area, because they cover so many, many ministry needs that just fall outside the norm. You know, everything from institutional ministries, not just prison, but also hospital and nursing home ministries, ministries for visually impaired, hearing impaired, ministries to our service people. Our military chaplain program is headed up through special ministries, and I'm sure I'm probably forgetting some that are part of this wonderful collaborative ministry effort that's titled Special Ministries. This conference is going to cover all of that, and I'm sure it'll be a weekend that is well worth the $75 conference fee. You can attend for the full weekend or just on Saturday only. The hotel reservations are separate, so you'll want to get those set up as soon as possible as well, and you can find out all kinds of information about the conference online at wells.net/jump/SM conference. So check that out and get registered today.
Yep. Also wanted to remind our listeners about the newly opened Wells Tech store, as it were. So all of you Wells Tech enthusiasts, if you want your Wells Tech gear, whether it be t-shirt, hat, mug, whatever it is, if you have an inkling to go to the store and look at what's there. It's at cafepress.com/WellsTech. So check out what's there. And I would encourage our congregations to think about this. If you have any kind of desire to, you know, do any kind of branded gear for your congregation for promotion or those kinds of things, that's a great site to check out. It doesn't cost you anything. So essentially you can set the pricing. There's a base pricing, obviously. You can also do some markup if you like, but that would be something that any congregation or school, you know, could check out. And what's great is you don't have to buy an inventory and hope that you can sell it, especially for school t-shirts and those kinds of things. You can simply have people go to the site and it gets fulfilled right on the spot. So good quality stuff.
Really easy to set up as well.
Yep. And thanks to Sally for doing that for us. Community feedback. Who is talking to us this week, Sally?
Well, we heard from Alan Bunt, who's a member at Good Shepherd in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, and he was giving us feedback on our show number 33. That's where we talked to Matt Frazier from Unifier about church communications, particularly with their software. But Alan was saying, you know, keep it coming regarding church communications, and he's looking for as many solutions as possible. One thing he mentioned in his comment was it's sometimes tough to do communication with an older congregation. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the keys there is just saying your message clearly and often. With our congregation, they really didn't have a big web presence before we got here to St. John's and Sleepy Eye. So I'm continually reminding them, look on the website for this, look on the website for that, and just making that really part of our communication plan to nurture that that reliance on mm-hmm. our website as our major communication tool. I bet there's other listeners that are out there that have ideas about communication in their congregation as well. And so we'd love to hear from you if you can share ideas about communication solutions that have worked in your congregation.
And Sally, how do they share that with us?
Well, there's lots of ways. The best being to go to our show notes website. You can find that at wellstech.wells.net, and there's always a place to leave a comment there, and also links to lots of other ways. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net, leave us a voicemail, tag something on Delicious for us, or even visit our Facebook group. And lots of links there to all those things. And finally, the best resource for communicating with the whole listener population is to tap into our WellsTech listserv, and there's links on our show notes page to that as well.
Very good. Well, that is going to about do it for another episode of the WellsTech podcast. Again, many, many thanks to our listeners. Let's close the show with the music of Wendy Sue Fleege from her favorite hymns albums, a treat for all of you fans of the old gospel hymns, Nearer My God to Thee. Once again, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Nearer My God to Thee, nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still my song shall be nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. Though like the wanderer, the sun
to